Now I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I am going to begin reading at verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 4 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for Thy continued blessings upon us. We thank Thee that we know our salvation is real and that the old account has been settled and the debt has been canceled, that Jesus paid it all. And now we ask that as Thy word is opened, the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds and cause us to grasp the truth that Thou hast revealed for us. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the man Moses is giving a final word to the nation Israel before their grand entry into the land of Canaan. The book of Deuteronomy is a book of preparation. They are preparing to enter. And Moses reminds them of some of the things that they must never forget. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me, all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Back at verse 9, for a moment, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget. Lest thou forget. A few years after World War II, when the dust had settled in Japan, and Brother Tan, I'm sure that you saw that Japan has come back into her own and has built a great nation since the close of World War II. Incidentally, Japan is the most literate country in all the world per capita. In the days following World War II, the Emperor of Japan wanted to make some kind of acknowledgement of the peace that now existed between the United States and her own country. And the Emperor sat down to send a message to the President of the United States of America. And he wrote out a long telegram. And then he did like I do a lot of my sermons. He scrapped it and said, that won't do. And then he sat down and wrote a shorter telegram. And then he scrapped it and he said, that won't do. And then he sat down and wrote just three words addressed to the President of the United States of America. And those three words were these: lest we forget. Now that is what Moses is saying to Israel. And by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, that is what I want to say to you this morning. As I speak to you from the subject, remembering the things we cannot afford to forget, lest we forget. First of all, I say to you, we cannot afford to forget the wonderful works of our God. When I look at creation, when I consider all that God has done, when I look at the Word of God and I read the first words, in the beginning, God. Now, I don't know much about science or biology or physics, but I know this. Every scientific, every biological, every physical law that exists today existed in the beginning. And men, through the years, have discovered some of them. But they were always there. For everything begins with God. Behold His wonderful works in creation. Look at this earth that He has made. He has painted the grass green and the skies blue. There are not two more restful colors than green and blue. He has made the rains to come to refresh the earth. Think about the trillions and billions and quadrillions of all the stars that are in their sockets. And yet Paul says one star differeth from another star in glory. When you went to bed last night, you didn't have to worry about whether or not the Earth was going to stay on its orbital pattern and plan. For you know that he upholdeth all things by the word of his power, and by him all things are held together. You didn't have to worry about whether or not the sun would come up today. For God has set in motion the physical laws of this universe, and no man can change them. We cannot afford to forget the wonderful works of God. Look at yourself. You are made in the likeness and in the image of God. And the Bible declares, and I still believe it to be true, regardless of what some half-cocked atheist might say, God created man in his own image. Look at yourself, lest you forget the wonderful works of God. And then, my beloved friends, we cannot afford to forget the blessed benefits of our God. The psalmist, in one of his moments of ecstasy, said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. And forget not all his benefits. And forget not all his benefits." Let me read those benefits to you from the 103rd Psalm. Listen to them. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Look at that benefit of forgiveness. It is God and God alone who forgives, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God not only benefits us with forgiveness, but God benefits us with health. God is the great benefactor. You and I are the beneficiaries, and we have many benefits. Health. God gives us health, safety. God delivers our lives from physical destruction. Loving kindness. Think of all the loving kindnesses and tender mercies of God. I challenge you to try to sit down and number and name the acts of loving kindness that God has given to you just since last Sunday, when we met together in this place of worship. And what shall I say about the food that God has given us to eat? The earth that produced the food produced it because God put in the earth what is necessary to produce food. So whether you are a vegetarian, or whether you eat meat, it doesn't matter. God gives both, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now, when you get home today, you're eating that fried chicken and roast beef, and chocolate pie and coconut cake. And now's the time for Jell-O. When you eat those things, remember this. That God has put that food on your table. And if God had not done it, you would go without. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He renews our strength like the days of our youth. I received a letter last week from a man in our community who had heard our radio broadcast for the first time last Sunday, and he enclosed a check to help take care of the expenses. And so I went to visit him this week. He lives right in this community. He is 81 years old. And he said, you know, Brother Barber, that message last Sunday on the radio meant so much to me. He said, it is refreshing for a man 81 years old to have somebody to tell him that God still loves him. And he said, you know, this week I felt the renewal of my strength. Well, that's the promise. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Our faith, our trust, our confidence in God should cause us never to forget the blessed benefits of the Lord. But there's something more. We cannot afford to forget the wrath that we've been delivered from. When I think about it, when I know in my own soul that if I had my just desert today, if you had what was coming to you today, if we all were rewarded according to our sins, we would be in hell. But God, one day you were on the road to hell, but God. One day you found no hope, but God. One day your strength was spent, but God. If I could describe to you today, I would do so. But I confess that words will not come, and my vocabulary fails me to describe the awfulness of the wrath of God. Do you know what it means to be under the curse of God's wrath? Do you know that it means to be forever in darkness, in torment? Away from God and hope and light and all that's good. I wish I could tell you what it means to be under the wrath of God. But somebody might say, preacher, I'm fixed up all right. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. I was christened when I was a child. I was baptized when I was young. I joined the church. I learned the catechisms. All of that is good. But you'll never be saved until you come like a child to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. The wrath of God, a God of the universe, the God of all wrath. I know He's a God of love. You know why I know it? Because one day He let His Son die on the cross and bear that wrath for you and for me. And the only reason that we are not under the sentence of God's wrath is because Jesus Christ bore that wrath in His own body on the tree. Don't forget the wrath from which you've been delivered. Don't ever forget. Much more than being now justified by His blood, Paul writes, we shall be saved from wrath by His blood. Don't ever forget that you are being spared the wrath of God, not because of your goodness or righteousness or church membership or baptism or anything else, but because the blood was shed on Calvary's cross for your sins. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Thank God that blood has saved me from wrath. Thank God I have found a hiding place, and I'm happy about it today. I found it in Jesus Christ, and you can find it too. Not in the church, not in the denomination, not in the religion, but in Christ. You and I cannot afford to forget that there are some price tags in life. You know, this old world is a storekeeper, and we have to pay for everything we get. We pay for the good that we do. We pay for the evil that we do. Jesus gave a parable that illustrates the statement, we pay for the good that we do, and we pay for it in advance. He tells us about a man who, looking at the real estate listings in his local paper, found that there was a certain field in a certain place that had certain riches. And so this man sold everything he had to buy that field because it was a good field. I say we pay in advance for the good things, but for the evil we do, we pay on the installment plan. Everybody knows about the installment plan, the revolving plan, the up and down plan, the off and on plan, but it's always paying by installment. We are living by installments. Ask David, a man after God's own heart, about paying for the evil that we do on the installment plan. For David sinned against God in committing adultery and murder. Somebody said, well, I've never committed adultery and I've never committed murder. But the book says if you've broken the law in one point, you are guilty of all. You have offended in all. There are no goody-goodies left around in the world. We are all sinners. Either sinners that are still lost or sinners saved by grace. But sinners just the same. Well, the first installment came due, and Nathan the prophet pointed his finger at David and said, you're the man. The second installment came due, and David's little baby died. The third installment came due, and David's son raped his own sister. The fourth installment came due, and David's favorite son, Absalom, stole his kingdom away from him. And on the installments came due all the rest of David's life. Hear me when I say it, that we pay for the evil we do in installments. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't forget there's a price tag, young people, on everything you're going to do in life. If you do good, you'll pay for the good, and the good will pay you back. If you do evil, you'll pay for the evil you do. Don't forget there's a price tag on everything in life. Lest we forget. We cannot afford to forget the vows that we made to God. You know, the Apostle Peter is a good example of this. He made a vow to God one day. He said to Jesus, "Lord, if everybody else fails you, I'm going to go all the way. I will go with you even unto death." And you know, I somehow believe that Peter really meant that. Until he found out if he followed Jesus, it just might mean death. And then he plays the part of a coward and curses and swears that he never knew Jesus. Hold your stones. Don't throw your stones at Peter, because you and I deny Jesus also when we fail to own him as our Savior. Just as guilty as Peter. How about those vows you made to God? Let me tell you what the book says about them. I'm glad our memory verse this morning was that when you received the word of God that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Listen to it. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in food. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. You remember when you were saved what you promised God you were going to do? Have you kept those vows? Do you remember when a member of your family was critically ill and you said, "Dear God, if you'll just spare him, if you'll just spare her, I'll serve you. I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other." You remember when you got into that close place and all the bill collectors were pushing you and you said, "Now, dear Lord, if you'll just make a way, I'll start tithing when I get straightened out." Some people will never get straightened out until the undertaker does it. Don't forget the vows that you made to God. "Dear God, if you'll just give us a child, we'll give him back to you." And now you're taking the child off on the Lord's day and doing other things when they ought to be in Sunday school and church. Don't forget the vow you made to God. It's better not to vow than to vow and not keep it. That's what the book says. You vowed to God that you would teach a class, that you would serve the Lord, that you would visit, that you would win souls, that you would do whatever the church, the pastor called on you to do. Now you scarcely can be found. Don't forget the vows you made to God. It's a dangerous thing. Lest we forget. Let me ask you, do you feel that somewhere down the line you've sort of slipped away? Somewhere down the line you've sort of left God on the shelf? Your God doesn't have a broken arm, but he might as well have a broken arm the way some of us treat him. Have you left him somewhere behind? Have you forgotten the vows that you made to him? The promise that you'd go all the way? Turn back to where you left him, and you'll find him waiting there, where you used to kneel by your bedside in prayer. He's standing in the chapel, by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place, where the laborers are so few. You are older now, sorer, broken. You are tired of self, 'tis true. But return to where you left him. He's still waiting there for you. Lest we forget, let's go back to the place where we left him. Lest we forget the vows that we made to him. Shall we stand for our prayer? Our Father, this morning, as we bow before thee in closing this service and the beginning of this invitation, if there are those who have left thee, who have gone astray, who've wandered, who've left the old path, who've tried to pioneer a new path, who have become careless and indifferent and somewhat unconcerned and having forgotten the vows, help us to remember this morning. May we not forget the vows that we made to thee. May we not forget the price tags of life. May we not forget the wrath from which we have been saved. May we not forget the blessed benefits of our great God. May we not forget thy wonderful works. Lest we have a tendency to forget, help us to come to this altar and remember today. Remember today. Remember now that which we have almost forgotten. Oh, may men and women and young people come today and find thee right where they left thee. In Jesus' name we pray.